Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Radhika Kasturi Mataji to enlighten us on topics, special topics today. Tulsi Saligram Vivah, Sri Nimbarka, yeah. Oh my God, Mataji, can anybody announce this? I'm really, it's difficult for me to announce these names. Shyamaguri Mataji or Priti Vilasni Mataji, can you announce it? I may go wrong.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. So, Mataji will be going to speak on Shri Krishna Rasa Yatra, Tulsi Saligram Vivaha, Shri Nimbarkacharya, Shri Bhugarva Goswami, Shri Kashishwar Pandit. So, thank you very much, Mataji. Can you give the introduction of Mataji?
Yeah. The honeybee devotee, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, was brought up in a Sri Vaishnava family and she was introduced to Krishna consciousness a few years ago when she was once reading a Bhagavad Gita in a park. Seeing her interest in reading Bhagavad Gita, some devotees invited her to a home program in California. She attended her first program on Gaur Purnima day, where they had a Japa marathon of chanting 64 rounds. This attracted her very much and she got very regular in attending programs there. She helps with cooking, cleaning and organizing events in California. She is also doing her Bhakti Shastri course currently. Like a bee that collects nectar from all places, she came upon the nectarian classes of the speakers on Bhakti Sangha. She was immediately inspired by all Bhakti Sangha speakers. She listens to all the classes and never miss a single recording on Bhakti Sangha group. She has the services of uploading mid-morning classes, sharing recording on group, uploading the kids' classes on YouTube, maintaining the kids' drive and so on. It is a great fortune to have her speak on this auspicious month. Hare Krishna Radhika Kasturi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your valuable time and association this morning. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the introduction. I see that I don't deserve anything that you've mentioned, but thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Special thanks to Preeti Srinivasan Mataji, Vinaya Mataji, you know, for encouraging me and motivating me to give this class. And, you know, I just want to ask all of the devotees to bless me and pray for me so that, you know, I deliver a good class to all the devotees. And if for my own purification, I have taken this from the information that is going to be presented in the class from various senior devotees. And if there are any mistakes or if I misrepresent any information, kindly pardon me and correct me. Thank you so much. Again, by the causeless mercy of all of you devotees, I am able to give my first class.
Mataji, can you possibly check the, make sure that the audio is clear because there is some static.
Okay. Mataji, I'm using a headphone here which has a microphone. I'm not sure if I'd have to take it out.
Yeah, just try taking it out just to make sure that it's clear.
Okay.
Mataji, are you able to hear me even without it? Yes, it's very nice. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
So, Mataji, do you want me to interest you now? I've been on going live for two, 3 minutes now. Do you want me to end it and then restart?
No, I think this is good. Indu Mataji, you have any comments for the live stream? Is it good?
Live is coming, I guess, Mataji, we can see that. Yes, Mataji, live is there. voice is not coming. Mataji, are you see? Can you speak? I cannot hear your voice in the live. Oh, we can see her, but we cannot hear her voice, Mataji, in the live.
What happened?
Mataji, we cannot hear on YouTube or hear also Mataji, Mataji's voice. Because of the headsets that she's wearing, I don't know.
Is she trying to speak or something?
Yes, Mataji, she's speaking in the live. I can see that, but we cannot hear it.
Mataji cancelled the live, it says.
Oh, Mataji has cancelled the live? Okay. I think this one is the old live I'm watching. Huh? Yeah, now we can hear. No, no, this is over. Yeah, Mataji, now we cannot even see any live.
Mataji, I cannot see you.
Yeah, Mataji, can we wait for 2 minutes, Mataji? We are, Devi is having some problem with her phone. We are checking it, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Devaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanata Timurandasya Jnananjana Salap Kayam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katam Ahyam Datati Papatantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sintu Vaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mataji, is the audio okay?
Mataji, audio is kind of like it's echoing, Mataji.
I also hear the echo, Mataji.
Can you remove your headsets and speak, Mataji? We will see that way.
Is it working?
Yes, now it's good, Mataji. Please don't use your headsets.
Okay.
Sorry for troubling you, Mataji. Please continue. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So the first topic for discussion is Nimbarkacharya.
He was born in
Andhra Pradesh, and after his birth, he actually went to Sharanya. You know, he's a very good and a great devotee. I still hear the echo.
Yes, Mataji. Are you with the two connections, Mataji? Why is this echo coming? In the two places, I mean.
Enjoy the two numbers.
Oh, now I cannot hear you, Mataji.
Maybe she doesn't do number.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, now we cannot hear you, Mataji.
Yeah, she isn't the connections.
Yeah, Mataji, that's what I feel.
No, I can see her. She's in two connections. She has to remove one.
Mataji, please guide her, Mataji.
We can mute her, but she's not speaking after we mute her.
She can directly join from the phone, Mataji, with the regular number, maybe, instead of the app.
Hello,
Mataji, you are on both the connections, Mataji. Please try to remove one connection, Mataji.
Okay, I've dropped her.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, I did good job.
Mataji, can you hear? Hello?
This is excellent.
Yes, yes, Mataji, please, now you speak.
Okay, Mataji. Okay, the first topic here is Nimbarkacharya. And, you know, as I mentioned, he was born in Andhra Pradesh. And after his birth, he actually went to North India. He was a very good and a great devotee to start off. And once upon a time, what happened was, you know, his father went outside. And, you know, during that time, the sadhu happened to come to his house. And when he came into his house, you know, he requested if there was anybody at home. And Nimbarkacharya, he was called Nimayananda at that time. And he mentioned that, you know, only his mom was there. So, you know, after that, you know, he went to his mom and so told her that sadhu was here. And immediately the mom also came to meet the sadhu. The sadhu requested if he could have some food or meal, prasadam. And, you know, immediately, you know, Nimayananda and his mom said, you know, we are more than happy to offer you food. And, you know, Nimayananda's mom, she went and started to cook. And in the process, you know, she wanted to start off with a very simple meal. But, you know, after some time, she thought, since the sadhu is coming here for the first time, you know, let us give him an elaborate meal. So immediately she started to, you know, make exotic dishes for the sadhu, you know, to please him. And, you know, what happened is the sadhu came mid-afternoon. So by the time she finished her cooking, it was, I would say, around mid-evening, and the sun has already set. So Nimayananda, once, you know, the food was prepared, he wanted to go and offer it to the sadhu. And when he went there, sadhu was actually performing his Sandhya Vandana duties. And he went and offered food. And the sadhu said, since the sun has already set, I'm not going to have it. You know, it's okay. Like that he mentioned. And since this is his first encounter with the sadhu, and Nimayananda felt a little disappointed. And he asked the sadhu, where did the sun set? And the sadhu actually came to him and showed him that this is the place. You know, see, the sun is already set. So Nimayananda was, you know, again, he said, no, sun did not set. I'm going to show you where the sun is. So, you know, he then requested the sadhu, come here. I'll show you the sun. So between the branches of the neem tree, he showed the sadhu, see, there's a big, there's sun there. And again, the sadhu, you know, was able to see that the sun had set, but again, he was able to see this ball, which is a ray of light as well. So with his mystic potency, he was able to understand that this boy is nothing but Sudarshana Chakra of the Lord, and he definitely has a great future to preach Krishna consciousness. So the day when he left, before that, what happened was sadhu was pleased by his act, you know, of showing the big ball of ray of sun, which is nothing but his Sudarshana Chakra, and because of which he happened to honor the food, the prasad. And immediately the sadhu actually blessed the boy also. And, you know, again, if you look at Nimbakacharya, from his childhood, I mean, it was around 6 years, he happened to meet the sadhu. And Vaishnava Seva is very important for him from that perspective, even from the young age. And, you know, what happened after that is the sadhu was leaving the next day. And, you know, he said, you know, I'm taking a leave. I bless you that you preach Krishna consciousness. And while the sadhu left, Nimbakacharya was able to see four heads of him. And he understood that he was none other than Brahma, who has come here to test him, basically. And again, the sadhu named him Nimbakacharya because Nimba means neem tree. That is, between the branches of the neem tree, he was able to show sun. And Arka means sun. So Nimba is neem tree and Arka is sun. So Nimbakacharya is, again, that is what it means. Between the branches of the tree, he was able to show sun. So this is a little bit of history about Nimbakacharya. Again, you know, I do have few things that I would like to talk about the Sampradaya as such. You know, Nimbakacharya actually preached Krishna consciousness 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He happened to pray to Lord Shiva, and then Shiva appeared him because of the tapasya he did. Shiva appeared before him, and you know, he wanted him to take initiation from the four Kumaras, you know, who were meditating nearby. And because of that instruction, he took the initiation from the four Kumaras and continued living in Navadvip. Following their teaching, that is Sanatana Kumara Samhita is what their teaching is, he started to worship Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna appeared as Gauranga Mahaprabhu before them. And, you know, they Gauranga Mahaprabhu told Nimbakacharya that he will begin the Sankirtan movement before he arrives, and that he'll be taking some of the principles for Gaudiya Vaishnavism from their movement as well. If you look at the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, it has been, Mahaprabhu actually took the essence of principles from Madhva, Ramanujacharya, and Vishnu Swami. Again, from Nimbakacharya, the philosophy, he happened to take two of them. One was surrendering to the lotus feet of Radharani, and then considering the essence of Vraja Gopi's love. these were the two things that Nimbarkacharya happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to take from Nimbarkacharya's philosophy. Again, if you look at Chaitanya Leela, you know, Nimbarkacharya appeared as Keshava Kashmiri, and he was receiving the love of Godhead directly from Nimai Pandit. So if you look at the comparison between both the philosophies, that is the philosophy of Gaudiyas and Nimbarkas, you know, they have some similarities. Like they do follow the sixth process of surrender, and they also do the nine limbs of devotional service that we practice. So if you look at their during their bhajan and kirtan, like how we do Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Hare Radhe Shama, Shama Shama, Radhe Radhe. So this is what they chant. And again, if you look at the descent of Nimbarkacharya, it happened because at the end of the Treta Yuga, the Asuras were creating a lot of trouble, and the Brahmanas went and surrendered to Lord Hari and said, you know, we need someone here. You know, you should either descend down, or you should send some funerary portion of yours to come and help us out here. And again, they also made this request to Brahma. Brahma then went to Hari, and he requested the Lord, and he then sent Nimbarkacharya, who's his own Sudarshana Chakra, to re-establish Dharma. So that is what Nimbarkacharya is. It's about. It's a very nice read. And if you have time, you can delve in more. So I'll move. I mean, can I move on to the next topic?
Yes, ma'am.
Bhugarbha Goswami. He is a disciple of Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, and he has a very intimate relationship with Loknath Goswami. And again, you know, if you look at it this way, they are very, very senior devotees. Inspired by Lord Chaitanya, they happened to go to Vrindavan and started exploring the forests of Vrindavan. And, just to talk about the history for a little bit here, Loknath Goswami actually gave up his ashrama to, he was in a grahastha ashrama, he happened to give up that ashrama, and he went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told him, you have to, you have to go to Vrindavan, and you have to start exploring the forest of Vrindavan. And he also mentioned that I'm going to take sannyas, so I'll join you there in Vrindavan. As soon as he heard this, Loknath Goswami, he started to cry in tears of ecstasy, because again, looking at how beautiful the Lord was, he had his curly curls of hair and locks of hair was there, beautiful form. Everything after sannyas is going to change, and also that he had a very close affinity of the devotees there in Navadvip, and he was able to feel that the devotees were going to miss Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he takes sannyas. But again, as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Loknath Goswami was in tears, he immediately went to him, he hugged him, and then he said, he gave him a lot of spiritual instructions for him as to what he has to do after he goes to Vrindavan. And after that, he kind of consoled him, and Loknath Goswami immediately surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he set off to, he set off to the forest. But before that, what happened was Bhugarbha Goswami, he was not able to look at the condition of Loknath Goswami. He was completely broken, right? So to give him strength, he also wanted to join, the Vrindavan, join him to the Vrindavan forest. That's how, both of them set to go to Vrindavan. And when they went to Vrindavan, because of their complete surrender, both of them completely surrendered to the forest of Vrindavan. They were calling out the names of the forest one by one. There were 12 forests, right? Bandivan, Kamyavan, Mahavan, Thalavan. So they started to call one forest name. And what happened was Vrindadevi she came and then she revealed the exact location of each and every forest. At that time, the forests were unknown to anybody, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them to go and, you know, find out where the forests were and what, where were the exact locations of each of them. And that was the duty that was assigned to them by the spirit, by you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these guy, these two people set off. And, you know, they happened to find out the forest and their exact location by their complete surrender and humility, because of which Vrinda Devi was able to give them whatever they asked for. And again, you know, Bhugarbha Goswami, if you look at him, how did this name come about, right? That's one of the questions. And, you know, just to talk about their relationships, you know, Bhugarbha Goswami is the paternal uncle of Loknath Goswami. So that's how their relationship is. And, you know, there is quotes from Bhakti Ratnakar, which talks about how affectionate the both of them were. Loknath Goswami's affection for Bhugarbha was very well known everywhere. That is what it says. And also it talks about both Loknath Goswami and Bhugarbha are gold mines of virtues. These are the quotes from Bhakti Ratnakar. So moving on, you know, how did this name Bhugarbha come about, right? You know, in Sanskrit, I mean, I'll come to Sanskrit later, but again, what happened is Bhugarbha Goswami wanted to avoid the material distractions of the world. So he happened to go and do bhajana and kirtana under the ground, so to avoid distractions from the material world. So that's how the name Bhugarbha came, Bhu meaning earth, and Garbha meaning cave, hidden place. So he was a complete renunciant. Again, you know, we can see acts of humility, complete surrender. Following Loknath Goswami was a direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you know, Bhugarbha Goswami was the disciple of Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. So both of them happened to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. This is a little bit of history about Bhugarbha Goswami. Can we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, please continue.
Okay. Rajeshwara Pandit. Again, if you look at him, he was born in the village of Katara in the district of Hooghly. So when you look at him, I think he is service, from a service perspective, he has done a lot. So whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to Jagannath with a lot of devotees, he used to be the physical bodyguard for him. Like, you know, basically he didn't want the crowd to lean on him. He wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be protected at all points in time. So he would do anything to make sure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was safe and that he was doing fine without being bothered by the crowd. And again, if you look at his initiation, who did he get initiated from? There were two of them actually, Govinda and Kashishwara Pandit. Both of them got initiated from Ishwarapuri. And at the time of departure of Ishwarapuri, what happened was Ishwarapuri instructed both of them to go to Neelachal to do service for Mahaprabhu. So immediately, following the orders of the spiritual master, they went to Neelachal and met Mahaprabhu there and told Mahaprabhu, see, I've come here because, you know, Ishwarapuri Pandit has asked us to do service for you, and that is the reason we've come here. And then immediately, you know, Mahaprabhu acknowledged them. They, even though they were senior disciples, he said because the spiritual master had instructed him to take care of them and help them be involved in the service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted to their proposal. Otherwise, you know, usually there is a conflict when senior devotees come, you'll be hesitant to take them to your service, right? I mean, in this case, because of the spiritual master's orders, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was comfortable and involved both of them in the service. Again, as I told you, you know, Kashishwara Pandit would take care of protecting Mahaprabhu at all points in time, making sure, giving him away, clearing the path, being protective, you know, and making sure the crowd doesn't lean on him, fall back on him. He doesn't get overwhelmed or anything because of the crowd. See, he was always protective. And then, you know, we have Govinda on the other side, carrying the water pot for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both were involved in the service. Again, you know, there's a quote which says that there used to be three circles of people who were protective of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whenever Ratha Yatra and Jagannath used to take place. So the first circle of people were, Nityananda and others. The second circle of people who would take care of Mahaprabhu is Kashishira Pandit, Mukunda and others. And the third set of people are, I think it is Prataparudra, the King Prataparudra, who used to take care of Mahaprabhu as well. So these were the three protective circles of people who took care of Mahaprabhu at all points in time, in the Jagannath, in the Purushottam Dham. And then there's also saying that Kashishira Pandit actually he used to serve Mahaprasad in Jagannath, including the seven devotees who all used to take the service of the Lord. Again, it's a big task because there are a lot of devotees, who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who used to attend the Ratha Yatra. And they were, selflessly doing this for the Lord. Again, he also participated in some of the leelas in Navadvip, such as Kirtanas of Shiva Sangan and bathing in the Ganges. Like this, Kashishira Pandit's biography grows. And, from this we learn that service attitude and following the orders of the spiritual masters are very, very important. And, Vaishnava Seva is the most important Seva that anyone could have imagined. And these Acharyas have definitely set the right path for us to follow. I'll go on to the next topic. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, please continue, Mataji. Finish all the topics.
Yeah, sure. So the next one is Tulasi Mahavihar, Tulasi Vivah, Tulasi Shaligram Vivah. There is a beautiful story which is actually associated with this. Again, it is from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. The story is actually a big one, but I'm going to do a very, very brief introduction to the story, so you can all get the perspective of where it's coming from. Again, we are going to talk about a king here. His name is Vrijavrata, and he was actually in the dynasty of the Vaishnava kings. But unfortunately, even though he was in that lineage, he did not have. He followed Shiva, and he did not have. He did not worship Vishnu or any of the demigods. In fact, he started to criticize Vishnu. And because of which Suryadev, he got angry and he cursed Vrijadvaja that he will lose all of his wealth and power. And because of this curse, the family remained destitute until the appearance of Dharmadvaja. So Dharmadvaja happened to pray to Lord Lakshmi. Dharmadvaja, along with his wife, her name is Madhavi, they happened to pray. And, they happened to pray to Lord Lakshmi, and because of their prayers, Lakshmi Devi was very, very, impressed by their prayers, and he actually gave them a favor by sending a plenary portion of hers to be descended to the earth. And Madhavi had a very, very auspicious daughter, and she actually was born into this world. And they saw that all signs of auspiciousness was found in this girl, and she never aged beyond 16 years. Her beauty was incomparable. She was so beautiful, and nothing could actually match her beauty. She was, as I told you earlier, it was very auspicious for them to have her, and she was named Tulasi. Tulasi means matchless. Nothing could beat her beauty or beat her. That's why she was named Tulasi. And leaving home, Tulasi actually went to Badrivan. In Badrivan, she happened to perform severe tapasya and austerities, because of which Brahma came to her and asked her, okay, what do you want now? You did, I'm so impressed by your prayers and your austerities. I've come here to grant you a boon. What do you want? Now, Tulsi Devi, she told her previous birth. I mean, she started to talk about her previous birth. She said that, I was called Tulasi, and I was really a maid servant for Krishna in my previous birth. And due to curse of Radharani, I am actually, I have descended down to this earth. And please help me. I want to get married to Lord Narayan. this is my, this is the boon that she requested. Now, Brahma, he happened to talk about another parallel story. He said there is this boy called Sudama who actually, who also received Radharani's curse, and he descended to the earth. He is born to the family of demons, and he is called by the name Sankachuda is, that is what he is called. Now, Sankachuda is, praying. He also is praying. He also did a lot of tapasya, and he also wanted a boon from me. Apart from several other benedictions, he asked me for one favor, that is, he wanted to marry you, Tulasi. This is what his request was. And so what Brahmaji said is, I'm going to grant you a boon, certainly, but there is a, there is a slight twist to it. What is that twist? Tulsi Devi asked. So in this life, Sankachuda will be your husband for some time. Later, because of a leela that is going to be performed, you will curse Lord Narayan, and Narayan will then become your husband after after some time. So Tulsi Devi actually, wanted to know a little bit. She said, I'm okay to this proposal as long as I'm able to marry Lord Narayan. And Brahma also mentioned that, with this boon, you are going to become the presiding deity of all the trees. You will freely enjoy unlimited happiness in constant association with Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu will consider you very, very close to him, and he is going to be eternally there for you. Like that, Brahma said, and he went. Sankachuda, he actually received a lot of benedictions from Lord Brahma. He also received one of Kavacha to protect him. And he was requested by Brahma to actually come to Badrivan to meet Tulasi. And then he introduced Tulasi to Sankachuda. And he said, this is Sankachuda, you're going to marry him. And he has got a lot of benedictions from me. Apart from the benedictions, I'm also going to tell him one more thing. As long as the chastity of Tulsi is there, Sankachuda is not going to die. So Tulsi was very, very, Tulsi happened to know that, if she's if her chastity is maintained, then Sankachuda's life will be, he'll not die, basically. So, again, when you're given great boons like this, you always try to misuse it. Likewise, Sankachuda also misused his boon. He said, he thought to himself, now that I have this boon, where I will not die if my wife is chaste, I'm going to use it to the extent possible. So he happened to abuse it, he happened to, go to the extent of torturing the demigods and, doing some crazy stuff, which were making the demigods totally unhappy. And again, they happened to do prayers to Lord Shiva. The demigods started to pray, and they started to, pray to Lord Shiva. Shiva came to him, came to them, and he started to directly fight with Sankachuda. Again, because of this boon, he's not going to die unless his wife's chastity is broken. And so now Lord Hari had to intervene, right? I mean, he has to definitely come down to take care of the situation. So he descended down to the earth. Lord Hari descended also down to the earth. He asked Sankachuda, can I have your kavacha? So now Sankachuda, because Lord Hari disguised as a brahmana and came to Sankachuda and asked him if I can have the kavacha. And, Lord again disguised as brahmana. So immediately, because a brahmana has come, Sankachuda gave this kavacha away to him. And Lord Hari took that Kavacha along with him and disguised as Sankachuda and went to Tulasi and actually broke her chastity. And so again, he wanted to maintain the benediction given by the devotee, right? Again, at the same time, not only that he wanted to take care of that benediction that was given to him, but also take care of the plea of all the demigods, because they were not able to take Sankachuda's torture. As soon as Tulasi Devi's chastity was broken, Shiva was able to kill Sankachuda on the other end. So when Tulasi Devi understood what had all happened, she felt that you know, Lord Hari deceived her, and he has broken her chastity. He killed her husband. She actually, you know, cursed. Now Lord Narayan said, "You are absolutely stone-hearted," and you know, so that's, and you will remain in the earth as a stone. This is what she said. Again, you know, Lord Hari actually accepted the curse, and because of which he is seen as Shaligrama, in the form of a stone in the Gandaki River. So he accepted her boon, because of which he turned into stone. And what he made Tulsi Devi is, he took her to the spiritual planet with him, and he said her present body will flow as Gandaki River, and her hair will be seen as Tulsi plant. And which will be used for all the offerings to the Lord. Without Tulsi, everything goes useless, right? I mean, even if you put one Tulsi, that equals to millions of things that you would want to offer to the Lord. So in this way, Lord accepted both her curse, and also, he made sure the benediction worked for all of the devotees, and that he also reestablished Dharma by descending down to the earth, taking care of the demigod's team. So this is the story we have for, Tulsi. And what Lord mentioned also is, to fulfill the curse, I'll become a stone and I'll live on the... Okay, that was something that I told you. And he said that he will, on this day, he'll marry her every year. So that is the vivah that we were talking about in today's topic, you know, where the Shaligram Shila gets married to Tulsi. And we find this very auspicious. I think there is an elaborate process that people follow, make this wedding ceremony very, very auspicious. This is the story that we have for Tulsi Vivah. Can we move on to the next topic? There's just one more topic, and after that we are done. Is this okay?
Yes.
Okay. So this topic is the Rasa Leela topic, and again, today is Sarat Purnima here, and this is the first day where Rasa Leela took place. It's a very, very auspicious day and most favorite pastime for a lot of them. It is also a confidential pastime that is not being talked about very frequently. Again, if you look at the story for this one, it is pretty interesting also. And a lot of people would have already talked about that. I mean, a lot of people would have already led Bhagavatam, 10th canto. And, so what it is, what's talking about, the essence of the story is that, you know, we have Lord Shiva who wanted to see the Rasa Leela, and Lord Shiva was very, very, anxious to see, you know, what was happening there. Again, you know, he was not allowed to be the part of Rasa Leela because it's a very confidential thing, and he didn't have the consciousness of a gopi. He had to do he had to do tapasya and a lot of austerities. He took, lot of poison to show his compassionate late nature to the Lord. And then, he was able to take a form of Mahadev, Gopeshwar Mahadev, to witness the Rasa Leela. Lord, even with Lord Lakshmi Devi, she was able to see Rasa Leela, but she was not actually, part of the Rasa Leela because of the consciousness which the gopis were having and which Lakshmi was not. So, it's pretty interesting, how the Lord actually shows that devotional service done by the Brajavasis is utmost perfection, and nobody can beat that. Again, if you look at the gopis, what all they have sacrificed and what did they not sacrifice for Krishna, right? I mean, they sacrificed the social prestige, they sacrificed, the Vedic injunctions. If something has to be done for Krishna, even if they have to go to hell, they were ready to do it. That was the extent what the gopis would do to take care of Krishna, to please Krishna. To please Krishna was their only motive. So now Krishna started to play the flute in the banks of Yamuna, and immediately the gopis were like, oh, Krishna started to play. Now we have to go and meet Krishna. oh, it's middle of the night, that's okay, you know, we can definitely go there. So what they thought to themselves were they left what they were doing, and then, according to Bhagavatam, it says that they actually go with their spiritual bodies. The material body still has to, you know, they, because of the family obligations, they had to leave their material bodies at their home, and they went with their spiritual bodies. According to the Acharyas, you know, it's so, this Rasalila is, it's above the modes because they have gone with their spiritual bodies now. It is above the three material modes of nature, right? I mean, now that they have gone with their spiritual bodies, which it makes it very, very special. After they went, Krishna said, okay, now that you have come to me, you have seen me, you can go back home. You have several duties to perform, right? Now, you know, gopis are like, oh my God, what is Krishna saying? We've come to take care of Krishna and praise Krishna and please Krishna. What is this? Krishna is asking us to go back. Krishna, this is not fair. We've come all the way to serve you, to please you. And you are there as the super soul in everybody's heart. And when you leave the body, there is no value to the body because people consider we are dead if you are not there in the heart. And now that we've come to please you, we want to be with you in your association. That is what the gopis requested. And the gopis also said, see Krishna, I think Krishna felt a little bit of pride in what the gopis were up to, and as soon as he saw the pride, he disappeared. Now the gopis started to lament. They were feeling very, very bad that they missed Krishna. They started to request everything, every object nearby that they were able to see. They started to go and ask for Krishna, where is he, where is he, where is he? And then they were able to see the footprints of two footprints. And they assume that there is some other gopi who is superior to them, and that Krishna is with her. And again, after some time, they also realize that Krishna is not with her also, and he is, you know, gone somewhere. So they started to sing Gopi Geet, right? I mean, Gopi Geet, I think Kalasudha Mataji has given an excellent presentation on all all the stanzas of Gopi Geet. And you can, you know, when you have time, you can go and look into it. And once this Gopi Geet happened, Krishna then appeared before them. And, they were so pleased. I mean, I could imagine what their feeling could be when Krishna had come, especially after a long, the long time wait. They happened to do so many things, you know, during that time when they missed Krishna. And Krishna was definitely impressed by all of them, and he then appeared. You know, there's definitely a parallel to this, right? I mean, obviously Krishna wanted to understand how Radharani's feelings were, and how deep her heart was, and how she felt for him, and how she longed for him, how she wanted him. I mean, he definitely wanted to understand all of her feelings, and because of which, he came in as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand Radharani's desire as her, how deep, Radharani had feelings for him is something that he wanted to experience himself. And, that is why he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, the mood of separation that Radharani was able to exhibit in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is something that is unexplainable, because he's ready to tear his heart for Krishna. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see Radharani in her heart, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see Krishna, and he was able to even go into the extent of tearing his heart to feel Krishna's presence in the heart. So that's the love that Radharani has for Krishna, and that is unparalleled and unquestionable. That is something beyond our imagination. With that, I mean, they sang Gopi Geet, Krishna appeared. Now the gopis had a question, right? I mean, why did Krishna disappear? So they started talking about some philosophy where they were saying some people are affectionate, and because of that affection, the people reciprocate the love back to them. Some other people, if you look at, there is a second category of people, even though you don't show affection to them, they still come to you, right? I mean, there is a second category of people. Even though you don't show affection, they reciprocate and give you a lot of affection back. The third category of people, they don't show affection to any people at all. So Krishna, the gopis asked, you know, what category do you belong? You just left us in the middle, you know, when we were going to do service for you. What happened? You know, can you explain us? So now Krishna's coming back to the question. The first category of people who you talked about, they are false friends. Because again, you look at them, you give them affection. If they don't get the affection back, they are going to cut the relationship. If they are not going to have any pleasure in any sort of relationship, then that relationship is going to be cut, according to them. That is the first category of people whom you spoke about. The second category of people, you know, they are like parents. You know, they are well-wishers to the earth because, you know, you don't give affection to them, but still they are able to, you know, come to you with 100% affection. Whatever you do, that doesn't matter to them, but they are ready to give 100% affection to you. That is the second category of people. Third category of people, you don't give affection to them at all. And so they are kind of inimical, right? I mean, they are kind of sinners and because they don't know what love is. So with me, why did I disappear? I disappeared because I wanted to intensify the love that you have for me. I wanted to understand how much you love me and how much you cared for me. That is why I disappeared. So the feeling of separation is very, very, the love and separation is something very unique and only, you know, and I wanted to feel that love and separation between us. And that is why I disappeared. He even went to the extent of saying that, gopis, you know, I cannot repay whatever you have done to me. I cannot repay in the lifetime of Brahmas. So whatever good deeds you are performing, that will be the compensation. I cannot repay because your love is unsurpassable. I cannot do anything that, you know, that could take care of the situation. So this is what Krishna said. And you know, this shows that this is the perfect love that anyone could have. And, you know, Rasa Leela topic is a very, very confidential topic. And, you know, Prabhupada often mentions that it should not be misused. It should not be spoken for the sake of money. And, you know, this should be spoken to very confidential, you know, devotees who are able to understand the rasa and understand and appreciate the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna. So if you look at the parallel, what Acharyas actually are trying to say, this actually shows, I mean, according to the Acharyas, the love between Krishna and Radha is compared to Krishna being present in the super soul of every, he has a super soul in everybody's heart, and he is looking for the reciprocation of love that we would have with the devotees. That is the expectation. So we should be ready to offer our love to the extent possible so that Krishna is able to understand, okay, there is the soul who is ready to eager to come to me and I want to reciprocate the love back to him. So this is the feeling that one should have, and we should always pray to that we should at least be, you know, 0.00% of what the gopis are trying to, you know, show in terms of love, sacrifice, everything to Krishna, that they are ready to do anything for the sake of Krishna. So this is what Acharya's comment by comparing Krishna's love to the love that we would have, that we should have for Krishna in our hearts. So that is the Rasa Leela topic that I wanted to discuss also. And with that, I'm actually done with my presentation. Mataji, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranama Goshti Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very nice presentation, Mataji. Very beautifully explained. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. All glories to Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Mataji. Thank you so much. That was very, very nice. The entire presentation was very nice. I especially liked the way you were explaining the meaning of Nimbarka and Bhugarbha, and then your detailed explanation on the Rasleela pastime was very beautiful, very nicely done, Mataji. Thank you so much for all the effort. It was a lovely class.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mataji. We have done everything, all the topics. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for such a beautiful class. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna. Mataji, I like your class.
Thank you, Vrinda. I'm so happy you were able to listen in. Glad my audio worked, and I'm not sure about the video. Hope it works also. I have no idea. I mean, I'm using this computer from my son for the first time, and I'm sorry for the initial trouble that I had in getting set up.
Okay. No problem, Mataji. Everything was fine. Thank you so much for coming on the call and giving us class.
Sure. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very inspiring class. Thank you very much. All the Srisi Bhagavatam story, especially Srisi Tulsi Maharani and Saligram story. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Sure, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very, very nice class. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for a beautiful presentation, Mataji. Thank you.
Sure, Mataji. Thank you, Antina Kopika.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the wonderful class and the lovely stories. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Oh, go ahead. Oh, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the beautiful stories in so much detail and so many things that I had never even heard of before. So I appreciate all of the new knowledge. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Panishuri Mataji. I'm a big fan of yours also. I can't forget the bee story that you mentioned in the previous class.
Mataji, it was Stephanie, Mataji.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry, Mataji. Thank you, Tiffany, Mataji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. It was really nice and very nice information, and all the points you have collected is really amazing. Thank you so much for the class. Anybody else wants to say something? So, if not, we can start our Vrajavandal Parikrama. So, let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, Vanchakalpavtarubhyasya, Krupasindhu Devachya, Patitanam, Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. Nintakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please bless me that I can read properly today. So, thank you very much today. Is our 25th and 26th day of Parikrama. And Parikrama is almost going to be over in 3 days. Tomorrow, the Kartik month is going to be over. But our Parikrama will extend one more day. And I request devotees, please share your realizations about the Vrajamandal Parikrama from home. At the end of the class. So thank you very much. Today we will go to from Mansarovar to Lohavan. In between we will go to Panigav. Panigav is Durvasa Muni's village. He stayed here for some time. Durvasa means one who drinks the juice of the Durva grass. Durvasa never ate anything. He had a vow to drink only this juice. The Garga Samhita reveals that the personified Vedas who were born as gopis were blessed by Vrinda Devi to enjoy the rasa dance with Krishna every day in their homes. One day, Krishna was very late in arriving. The gopis asked him why he had not come sooner. The Lord replied that his spiritual master, Durvasa Muni, had come to Bandirvan forest. So he had gone there to worship his lotus feet and serve him. That's why he was late. The gopis were amazed to hear that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a spiritual master, and they became eager to offer their respect to Durvasa Muni. They asked Krishna how to go to Sage's place, for by that time 6 hours of the night had already passed and there was no boat available by which they could cross the Yamuna. The Supreme Lord said, "O my beloveds, you must go to see him when you come to Yamuna. Speak their words. O Yamuna, O best of river, if Krishna is a perfect and faultless Brahmachari, then please give us a path to cross you. When you speak these words, the Yamuna will give you path. O girls of Braja, in this way you may easily cross." The gopis then filled 56 pots in nice preparations, and when the bank of Yamuna with folded hands, they repeated Krishna's words. Sure enough, the Yamuna made way of them for them. The great wonder, they crossed the river and went to Durvasa Muni's ashram. After offering their 56, after offering their obeisances to the sage, gopis offer him spontaneous preparation. As per his request, they fed him by placing the 56 kinds of food into his wide open mouth. To their great astonishment, he ate every morsel. Their pots were completely empty. They couldn't believe their eyes. When it was time to return, the gopis realized they were facing the same problem they had faced before. Then they asked Durvasa Muni for help. The sage said, "I will give you something to say that will give you easy passage across the Yamuna. O Yamuna, O best of the river, if Durvasa Muni carefully followed his vow of living only by drinking Durva's grass juice and never eat or drink anything else, please give us a path to cross you. When you speak this word, the Yamuna will give you a path to cross her." The gopis were in for another surprise. These prayers worked. The Yamuna again created a path for them and they crossed easily. The simple girls wondered how such statement could be true. After all, Krishna is Gopi's Kanta, lover of gopis. How could he be Brahmachari and how could Durvasa Muni claim to drink only Durva grass juice? They had personally seen him eat a huge feast. Sometime later, the gopis approached the Lord for an answer to this puzzling statement. Krishna explained that being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is free from modes of material nature. He interacts with gopis in the conjugal milieu to reciprocate their love from him for him, not because he is conditioned by the material defects of lust and false ego. Therefore, the Lord is faultless and perfect Brahmachari. As for Durvasa Muni, Krishna said he was transcendentally realized and didn't identify with his body. He ate the great feast to please the gopis, not because he wanted to eat it. Thus, to say that Durvasa Muni lives on only drinking Durva grass juice is not incorrect. Next we go is Lohavan. We arrive at Lohavan, the 11th principal forest of Vraja. This forest is named after Lohajanga demon who was killed here by Krishna. The Lord also herded his cows in this area. The Adi Varaha Purana says that this 11th forest, Lohavan, which was guarded by demon Lohajanga, is the destroyer of all vices. After offering our obeisances to Lohavan, we take darshan of Shri, beautiful deities of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Kalyana Kalpataru says, O Gopinath, Lord of the cowherd girls, please hear my prayers. I am wicked, materialistic, always addicted to worldly desires, and no good qualities do I possess. O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and so I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am your eternal servant. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know that devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitive work. I have fallen into this dark and perilous worldly exercise, a existence. O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge, and this body of mine is not independent, being controlled by material nature. O Gopinath, weeping and weeping, this sinner begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. Please give him your mercy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's extremely humility pervades everything he writes. His humility is particularly instructive in this song. And if we want to learn how to petition the Lord of his mercy, studying this bhajan will help. Behind the temple is Krishna Kunda. Taking a few drops of water from Kunda on our heads, we are then briefly shown Lohajanga Sura's underground cave, which is about 50 feet from Krishna Kunda and the Radha Gopinath temple. Lohavan was the battlefield where Jarasandha was defeated 17 times by Krishna and Balaram. After Krishna killing Kamsa, Kamsa's two wives, Asti and Prapti, who happened to be Jarasandha's daughters, returned to their father's kingdom in the Magadha province, present-day Bihar. They lamented pitiably that they were now widowed. Jarasandha became incensed and resolved to avenge his son-in-law's death by annihilating the Yadu dynasty. He gathered 23 military divisions and attacked Mathura. Despite his having a such smaller army, Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed Jarasandha's force until he was the only one left standing. Balarama captured Jarasandha, but Krishna, with a different plan, he had different plans in mind, asked Balarama to release him. The Lord reflected on the mission of his incarnation, which was to rid the earth of its demoniac military burden. He knew Jarasandha would make the task easy for him and his brother. For a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. To the defeat captured by bad in a but to then simply be released was unbearable, and Jarasandha felt both insulted and depressed. He even thought of going to the forest instead of returning home, but his friends convinced him to give up. They attributed his defeat to bad luck and encouraged him to attack Mathura again. Jarasandha, the king of Magath, beside this city of Mathura not only once but 17 times in the same way, equipped with the same number of military phalanxes. Each and every time he was defeated and all his soldiers were killed by Krishna, and each time he had to return home disappointed. Each time the princely order of Yadu dynasty arrested Jarasandha in the same way and again released him in an insulting manner. And each time Jarasandha shamelessly returned home. By this strategy, Krishna and Balaram did not have to bother looking for the demons. Jarasandha did a fine job of gathering them and bringing them to the two brothers to meet their destruction. During the 18th attack, however, Krishna and Balarama pretended to be afraid and left the battlefield. Actually, they ran away because they were unwilling to kill any more soldiers. They also had other business to attack to. Although the Lord was not at all afraid, Jarasandha thought him to be like an ordinary human being who was feeling out of fear. He chased him, calling, "Ranchod, Ranchod." Rana means battle and chod means to flee. So Ranchod literally means one who flees the battlefield. Lohavan is not far from bank of Yamuna, where according to Bhakti Ratnakar, there were humorous boating pastimes similarly to those at Manasi Ganga. Once Krishna waited for the gopis in a broken boat to help them cross the river. When the gopis arrived with their milk products, Krishna pretended to be asleep, and the girls had to work hard to wake him up. Then, in great ecstasy, the Lord welcomed them into his boat and rowed for some time. The Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali says Radha anxiously told Krishna, "This boat is broken and the river is very deep here. We are only young girls and this situation is not in our favor. The only way we will be saved is with you as our boatman. Oh, Yadunandan, on your suggestion, I have thrown away my milk vessel, my necklace and my craft. Yet the other bank is not even in sight. This boat is filling with water and at any moment it will sink. being caught by a storming whirlpool, and as we, what a unfortunate scene. Despite this, Krishna, you are clapping joyfully. My hands cannot stop bailing the water from your boat. Yet you cannot stop making joke. O Krishna, if I save myself this time, I will never again set foot in your boat. So next we go from Lohavan to Dauji. On the way it comes is Bandi Anandi. The Bandi Anandi temple is dedicated to Yogamaya Devi. Here we offer our obeisances to two deities, Bandi Devi and Anandi Devi. It's said that these two deities represent two energies of Krishna, or in one sense two aspects of his Yogamaya Shakti. When Krishna appeared in Kamsa's jailhouse, his potency that caused the jail to be unlocked and Vasudeva's shackles to fall was Bandi Devi. Anandi put both the guards and the cowherd man in Gokula to sleep. By her potency, Vasudeva was able to carry baby Krishna to Gokul without being detected. These deities were installed by Vajranab and were previously in Gokul, but now they are worshipped here. Behind the temple is Bandi Anandi Kunda. In Vraja Vilastav, it says, I offer my obeisances to Mahavan, where Vrajaraj Nanda celebrated the birth of Krishna by distributing 18 lakh of cows, each wearing a large pearl necklace and golden ornaments. He also gave the Brahmanas a tremendous quality of jewelry and grains. Next, the temple comes Dauji. Dauji village is known locally as Baladev. Here, life revolves around the Dauji Mandir, in which the large deity of Balaram is in Vraja worshipped. Dauji is an affectionate team meaning older brother. We slowly make our way through the entrance gate towards the temple. Dauji's darshan is sublime. He had an exquisite shiny black form and stands 6.5 feet tall. Gazing at us with his large eyes, he showers us with blessings. His right hand is raised and his left hand holds a cup of Varuni. Dauji is one of Baladev is one of the four main deities Vajranab installed. As previously mentioned, the other three are Sri Keshavadev, Sri Haridev and Sri Govindadev. Baladev is the only original deity of four of still in Vraja. The other three have been moved to the different location and replaced to Pratibha Murti. During the Mughal invasion, the deity of Dauji was hidden in Krishna Sagar Kunda. Just behind the temple here is said the Vrajavasis constructed this kunda thousands of years ago to hold the milk from the 1 lakh cows that had been offered to Lord Balaram. The deity's location was subsequently forgotten, and for the long time nobody knew where he was. Then one day he appeared in a dream of Gokulanath Goswami and ordered him to reveal his whereabouts. Standing opposite the Lord and drinking his darshan with her own lotus eyes is a attractive deity of Sri Revati Devi. She is to the left of the front altar door, with her back to the wall that faces Lord Balaram. You can see Revati Devi from front door, so to take her darshan one has to look through the side door. The Garga Samhita describes how Revati Devi attained Lord Balarama as her husband. After Lord Vishnu had finished hearing Brahma's request to reveal the earth's military burden, he ordered the demigods to descend to earth. Next, he asked Lord Anantashesh to enter the womb of Devaki, from which he would be transformed by Yogamaya to the womb of Rohini. After that, he said he himself would appear in Devaki's womb. Anantashesha then went to Vaikuntha Loka, where he merged into the body of Sankarsana. Then he made preparations for his descent while giving instruction to his assistants to appear in the Yadu dynasty. At that moment, Nagalakshmi, Lord Sankarsana's wife, begged to be allowed to accompany him. The Lord affectionately assented and asked her to merge into the body of Revati. This sparked Nagalakshmi's curiosity about the identity of Revati Devi. So Lord Sankarsana narrated Revati's story. Revati was previously Jyotishmati, the daughter of Chakshushu Muni. She had desired to attain the most powerful personality as her husband. To fulfill his daughter's desire, Chakshushu Muni approached Indra, Vayu, the mountains, and eventually Mother Bhumi. Bhumi told him that no one in the three worlds possesses more valor or strength than Lord Sankarsana, upon whom the entire creation rests. With her father's permission, Jyotishmati then retired to the Vidya Mountain to perform austerities for 100,000 years. On getting Lord Sankarsana as her husband, several demigods were attracted by her beauty, and they approached her to encourage her to forget her ambition and accept them instead. But she cursed them all. Angry at being cursed, Indra counter cursed Jyotishmati that she would never have children. After the demigods left, Lord Brahma arrived and told Jyotishmati and Lord Sankarsana would appear after 27 yugas and accept her as his wife. Jyotishmati said, "O Brahma, this is a very long time. You can do anything. So kindly fulfill my desire without delay. If you do not do so, then like the other demigods, I will curse you. Brahma became fearful and so promised her that in her next birth, the 27 Divya Yugas would pass by quickly. Her desire would then be fulfilled in that one lifetime. In due course, Jyotishmati took birth in Anartha province as the daughter of King Revata, and so came to be known as Revati. Revati Devi was famous for her extraordinary beauty. When she came of age, her father asked her what kind of husband she wants. Her reply was unequivocal. She wanted to marry the strongest person of all, Maharaj Revat. Took his wife and daughter on his chariot and traveled to the various planetary systems in search of the strongest person in existence. He eventually arrived at Brahmaloka and decided to ask Lord Brahma's advice. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that when they entered Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma was busy watching a dance performance. So Maharaj Revat has to wait for a few moments before being able to speak to him. When Lord Brahma heard the king's request, he informed him that although he had waited in Brahmaloka for such a brief time, 27 Divya Yugas had already passed on the earth. Brahma further revealed that Lord Balaram, the source of Lord Sankarshan, would soon appear in Bhumandal to assist Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastime. Balarama, he is the most powerful and blissful personality of Godhead. Lord Balarama thus advised King Revat to return to the earth. Lord Brahma thus advised King Revat to return to the earth without delay and to approach him. Lord Sankarshan also concluded his narration to Nagalakshmi at that same moment and ask her to go to Brahmaloka and merge into Revati's body, as she would be returning to the earth shortly. The Gopalachampu describe how when King Revat and his daughter came to Dwarka to find Lord Balaram, the Dwarkavasis were astonished by how tall they were. They were from a previous age when people were much taller than the people in Dwapar Yuga. Feeling great joy, Lord Krishna cordially welcome them into the city, and after consulting with Vasudeva and others, he convinced Balaram to agree to King Revat's proposal and he married his daughter. But it was a little awkward. Revati was so much taller than Balaram. So while Revati was asleep, Balaram touched his plow to her limb and reduced her size to suit his own. Their marriage was then performed, giving unbounded bliss to all. you don't hear the family, the Radhe Radhe here, so often. In Vrindavan, everybody says Radhe Radhe, but here the greeting is Dauji ka bhaiya, or who is the Dauji ka bhaiya, who is the brother, one should respond Krishna Kanaiya. Krishna is his brother. So when they say who, Dauji ka bhaiya, you have to say Krishna Kanaiya. So thank you very much. We have done our 26 days of parikrama. Now only 4 more days are remaining. So tomorrow we will go from Dauji to Brahmanda Ghat. So anybody has any realization about our parikrama? Do you like it or not?
Of course, we like it very much, Mataji. It was very, very nice. Dauji ki bhaiya, Krishna Kanaiya is very nice.
Krishna Kanaiya.
So we are enjoying it very deeply, Mataji. Thank you so much for the efforts. Very beautiful.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna Shyama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. For us, it's very difficult to go to Vrindavan, so it's better to read on and just imagine that we are there.
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Shyama Gauri Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for daily reading and taking us to Vrindavan. It was so beautiful, Mataji. Thank you for making us experience about all the places that we are supposed to visit, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Shyama Gauri Mataji, very nice reading at the nectar. Vrindavan, presenting the Vrindavan. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Shyama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much for the reading, and it is, you know, increasing the desire to see Vrindavan Dham. I've been to Vrindavan Dham, but unfortunately the doors were closed, so I could only go to Mathura Dham, but I could not go to Vrindavan. But you have increased so much of desire to see the Dham. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Please pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpataru Pesha, Kripa Sindhu Bevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai.
Magori Mabhyana. Thank you.